I'd like to begin my lesson tonight by asking you if you have ever understood and feel a purpose for your life. We have to recognize a purpose for a life, and that's what we strive for. And tonight I'd like to bring that to our minds, that we do have a purpose. I think back to the time of Esther, and she was in a particular difficult situation. And Mordecai said, "Who knows but what you were brought to the kingdom for this very time, for this very reason." And I think that we need to understand that God has a purpose in our lives and that He has a reason for us being here. So I'd like to begin tonight with the consequences of doing what's right. I'm going to go back to the Old Testament, first of all, to Genesis chapter 39. And there we read some things about Joseph that help us understand this purpose in life. In chapter 39, I want to begin with verse 7 and go down to verse 20. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused to be his master's wife. He refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. He has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of the house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought in the Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside." So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did this to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confirmed, and he was there in prison. And so he had someone lying, trying to induce him into sin and all these things. And yet, I've often wondered how Joseph knew not to do this wicked thing. I'm sure his mother and father had instilled some things in him that he remembered. And he had this sense of morality. I think the world today has pretty much lost that sense of morality. But nevertheless, those of us who know the Word of God have that sense of morality, and we want to do the right thing, regardless of the consequences. Well, many have suffered for doing what was right, including Joseph. When we look at the Old Testament, we read about Job. And Job didn't really understand what was going on. He didn't understand that the devil had made a charge against him. And the charge against Job was that, yeah, Job is your servant, but he's your servant only because you've rewarded him so richly. You take away his blessings and he'll curse you to the face. And that was the test that was put upon Job. And he didn't understand that. He whined a little bit, which I'm sure I would have too if I'd been in that situation. But he finally came to understand that God was testing his faith. And as he suffered for that, he was suffering for the right thing. Because even his friends, if you remember the story of Job, his friends would try to discourage him. And they had an idea that when you suffered, it was because of something you did wrong. And they would say to Job, "You've done something really, really bad for you to suffer the way you're suffering." And they would try to trick him or confuse him. But he remained faithful to God. And he overcame that trial that was in his life. And so Job has come down to us as one of those men that's really worthy to remember. Then Jeremiah the prophet was another. Isaiah had been the prophet before Jeremiah. Isaiah was warning Israel that if you don't turn away from your idols, that God is going to punish you. And after Jeremiah came, God had said, the time is, my patience is gone. You're going to go into captivity. And Jeremiah was told by God to tell the people to go ahead and open the gates and let the enemy in. It'll be better with you if you do that than if you bolt the gates and try to fight. Well, of course, they didn't believe that. And archaeology has found a letter from a man who was over the garrison south of Jerusalem. And it was put up for public notice, and it said something about this terrible prophet up in Jerusalem has bound our hands and made it more difficult for us. And he was talking about Jeremiah. Well, Jeremiah faithfully executed what God told him to say, and he was put in prison. He suffered a great deal because he did what God told him to do. The story of Jeremiah ends in sort of a sad thing. After Jerusalem was destroyed, he was captured and taken down to Egypt and died in Egypt where he didn't want to be. But he remained faithful to God in all the things that God told him to say, even when the people didn't like it. And so we look at Job, and he's another one that suffered for doing what is right. And then we all are familiar with John the Baptist, or the baptizer, because he came declaring that Jesus was the Christ. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And as he was testifying and everything, he recognized that Herod was living with his brother's wife. Herod had gone to Rome. And there he had taken Philip, his brother's wife, and brought her back home. And John cried out because it was adultery. And of course you remember that displeased Herod, and Herod had him put in prison. And then finally, after his daughter-in-law did her dance and asked for his head on the platter, John lost his head. His head was severed from his body because he was doing what was right. And somewhere along in that, I'd like for us to pick up the thought that we're going to do right no matter the consequences. I don't think that our life is going to be as dramatic as Jeremiah or Job. I don't think our life is going to be as dramatic as Esther's. Yet there are times and places where our faith is going to be tested, just because the Bible says that it will be. Then, of course, the apostles. The apostles suffered so very much, and Paul, as we recognize, suffered a great deal. He even talked about some of the suffering that he did, how many days he was in the sea, how many times he'd been whipped and chastised by the Jews. He had a horribly painful life for doing what was right. As we've talked about him in the past, he was educated at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the great teachers of the Jewish nation. Probably because of his knowledge and abilities, he would have been a part of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin were the 70 people that ruled Jerusalem. And he would have been among, I think, the Sanhedrin. But he chose to do what was right, though it turned his life upside down. But also the other apostles. If I understand correctly from reading what the Bible has said, John, the apostle, was the only one that lived to be an older man and died natural causes. On the cross, Jesus had given Mary to him and said, "Behold your mother," and told Mary, "Behold your son." Well, John was living at Ephesus during the last years of his life. One day when we were in Ephesus, there was a monument to Mary there that supposedly she lived in Ephesus and died in Ephesus, which is not important. But even Mary, as wonderful a person she was, had to suffer for doing right along with the apostles. So all the apostles died a violent death, I think, except John. And then we read in Acts 7 about Stephen, a gospel preacher. And he was preaching the truth, and he gave the history of the Israelites to the Israelites themselves. But he made the conclusions of those that the purpose of the Jewish nation was to bring Jesus into the world, and they rejected him. And as he told them that they were guilty of that, they began to cut on him with their teeth. Now, I heard a story years ago about that there was a church divided about John. that some said he was a gnasher and some said he wasn't a gnasher. So the Bible said that they gnashed teeth on him. So we'll just take that for what it says. And of course he was stoned to death. So you see how he suffered for what was right. Then of course Jesus is the extreme example of that very thing. He was indeed and command and remains to be God. And became, John 1:14, he became flesh and dwelt among men. And so we have to recognize that Jesus suffered totally innocent. And it's amazing that people can hate the truth so much. I have to connect it in some way to today's world. I've never known hate in my lifetime the way this country has hate today. Well, that's the kind of hate that put Jesus to death. And we have to recognize that he had a purpose. Well, so did Job, so did Jeremiah, so did John, so did the apostles and Stephen and Jesus. There was a purpose. And that makes me wonder about me. Do I have a purpose in life? Am I fulfilling the purpose that God has for me? Because I do believe there's a purpose for all of us. And the end intended by the Lord is something that I need to recognize. So let's turn to the book of James. And notice what is said in James chapter 5, beginning with verse 10. James 5 and verse 10. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So he was, Job was blessed after he remained faithful. But here you have the example, those who endure, your perseverance. And the main thing is you've seen the end intended by the Lord. And I wonder if that can ring true for us. In your mind, in your thoughts, can you visualize the end God has in mind for you? The Bible talks about the patience of Job. Well, we need patience too. Peter talked about people who said, well, the Lord's been saying he's going to come for all these years and he still hasn't come. Well, that's all right. God will do things in his time. I just want to be sure that my purpose coincides with God's purpose in doing those things that are right. In Joseph's imprisonment, we talked first of all about him and Potiphar's wife. His imprison had something in purpose that God intended. And sometimes in the very difficult days that we have, the most difficult of all, and him being in prison and all the things that happened to him, he believed that God had a purpose for him. And we have just one link in the chain of God's providence that brought the children of Israel to Egypt. I don't know. Of course, Joseph had a lot of dreams when he was a young boy. And he understood that God was going to do something with him, but he didn't know what. Can you imagine the consternation that he went out to help his brothers, and they threw him into a pit and talked about killing him. And then they finally said, well, we'll just sell you to as a slave into Egypt. They didn't know at that point that their wickedness was going to be overshadowed by God's purpose. And sometimes when you go through very difficult days, it may be that that's preparing you for something that yet to happen in your life. I believe that we need to have a sense of purpose in our lives to really do what God wants us to do. And though his imprisonment was something, it was by Joseph that the family went down into Egypt. And let's go back to the book of Genesis again. After his family came down, and a number of things happened that made him recognize that God had been using him for a particular purpose. In Genesis chapter 45, beginning with verse 4, let's just go back to verse 1. This is a compassionate story. His brothers have come down to buy grain, and he recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him and cried out, make everyone go out from me, So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? Brothers' brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, and listen to this, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years which will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. And we see the curtain drawn back on God's mind. And what Joseph went through, as bad as it was to test his faith. And when he stood the test of his faith, then God had that purpose for him. And it's a wonderful thing that he had the courage and the heart of love that he had. As a second to Pharaoh, he could have killed every one of his brothers. Nothing would have been said. And I can understand the anger. I mean, looking back, there I was in a pit, and my brothers were talking about killing me, and then decided to sell me into Egypt, and I've gone through all of this. Now I've got you in my hands. But that wasn't him. And he's one of the most admirable people of the Old Testament, because he told his brothers, who were dismayed when they found out who he was, God sent me before you to preserve life. God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth. There was a famine, and they needed something to eat, and they came to Egypt and found that. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Now we're not going to be Lord of all Egypt. But do you understand that in your life, that there's a purpose for you to find out? We're not just here casually. We're not here blindly. We're following God's leading. And I would not have thought when I was real young that I'd ever be a preacher. But I found out I did and could. And others have found out in their life a place of service. I try to say all the time, we're seeing so much now among churches of Christ where they're putting in women pastors, women teachers, women serving the Lord's table, women doing all the chores of the men. And this feminism is affecting the church. We look at all that and recognize that it may be time for us to let it be known what the Bible really says about the work of women. And I always say, when I talk about this, that it's not a matter of one being better than the other. They're all important to God. It's just that women have a different place of service than men do. Women should not try to be men. Men should not be trying. I saw something today on the phone, looking at YouTube or something. There was a 6'2", 240-pound transgender man that was taking over the women's volleyball. And of course, he was outstanding. Nobody could stand up against him. He was a guy. And I don't understand. If somebody gave me a dollar bill for each gender, I'd have $2. And all this nonsense, this mentally disabled nonsense about there being transgenders. I don't know where it came from except from the devil. And it's making parents say to a 3-year-old boy that we want you to be a girl. And they even give them hormone shots to change it. I'm amazed at the world and what's going on in the world today. And I think we have a purpose. And it's sort of like we talked about Sodom and Gomorrah a little bit this morning in class. And Abraham worked with God trying to find five righteous people in the world. And he couldn't find five. So Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by fire from heaven. Well, how many faithful people will it take to preserve America? Now, I wouldn't pretend to know. I don't know that. That's in God's business. But Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth and we're the lamp of the world. And I just wonder how many of us is it going to take to preserve America? Because if America doesn't turn around, it's headed for a fall. I'm not a prophet. I'm just telling you what I think. But things don't look good for America. And when you see the rise of evil in this world the way it has, it could be that God is using you and me as the salt of the earth to preserve a nation, just like he did with Joseph and his people. And we need to be ready to be that salt. And we need to be that light. And the unjust suffering. Suffering persecution, the Bible says, proves that we're right. Because Jesus said that those who live righteously will suffer persecution. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 12, Paul said, we'll go back to verse 10, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions." As I've said though many times, we've had it easy in this life. We haven't even begun to suffer at all like the early Christians began to suffer. But sometimes we get to feeling sorry for ourselves and don't appreciate the blessings that we have. Matthew chapter 5, beginning of verse 10, Jesus also made some comments. Let me turn one more page. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And so there's always been this battle going on. I think sometimes we don't recognize that we're in a war. And that war is with the devil. And Peter said, is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. But look how many he's devoured. Look at the world and how few are faithful Christians. So we have a purpose. And that purpose is, I want to be the salt of the earth, preserving. And it gives it flavor too. And I want to be the light of the world. And so we've got our website. By the way, I talked to the webmaster. We're having about 90 a week right now looking at the website. And so we're still reaching out. We're still touching the lives of people. And we certainly hope that that will bring them to the Lord as we think about that. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter added some words that talk about the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning verse 12. "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy." How would you feel if you went home tonight and your home had been seized by the government because you're a Christian? It happened in those days. And folks, it can happen again. I'm seeing, as we put in the bulletin on different occasions, there's an anti-Christian attitude in America today. The church is hated. The Bible is hated. And it's going throughout the world today. But Peter tells us that this suffering builds character. And so you see that character in Joseph, don't you? You see that character in Job. You see that character in the apostles. And I hope it's in us. The character that looks beyond circumstances, and I can see a purpose going toward God. I want to go to heaven. And I believe that's my purpose for being here. If I can teach some soul, lead someone to Christ, how much better is it? Because you're having a purpose for your life. And so we need to understand that that's a purpose for us. And suffering equips us to serve others. That is, you'll become more thoughtful about other people when they're going through difficult times, because you've been there too. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning of verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." The idea that we have empathy for someone who's going through a difficult time. And because we've had those times, I can understand what they're feeling. When you've lost a loved one, someone very near and dear to you, and then you see someone else that loses someone like that, you know their emotions. You know what they're feeling. You know, although it's difficult sometimes to know what to say, just being there, because you know what they're going through, and just to be able to have that certainly helps a lot. And suffering helps us long for heaven. And I do believe that with all of my heart. I believe that's one reason why the early church had so many slaves, so many of the lower class of Rome, because they had felt so much torture. Life was not easy under Nero. Life was not easy under Herod. And a lot of people began to be taught about heaven. And I think so many of the spiritual songs that was in America came about because of difficult things and people saying about wanting to go to heaven. And so that's my purpose tonight, is to recognize that I'm on a pathway. I know where I'm going. I know what God wants me to do because I've read His Word. And my purpose is to live out what Jesus wants in my life. So please make a personal application of this in your own life and recognize that you have a purpose. It may be something that we don't even understand yet, but it may be that by your faith you can draw someone else to God. As you're the salt of the earth, someone sees this and responds to God. My cousin's wife, Doris, became a member of the church. She said she saw her mother-in-law read the Bible every night before she went to bed. And that impressed her, and so she began to read the Bible and became a Christian. I don't think my aunt understood exactly what she was doing. She was just doing what was right. But she was an influence in my cousin's wife's life. And who knows who's looking at you? Who knows what example you're setting? And as you take that purpose of life and keep it inside, as you recognize your importance to the world, then I think that we can understand what it means to have a purpose in our life. Hope and pray that makes it such that you will want to do even better as time comes along. Yeah, people who live right sometimes suffer for it. And we don't have that much to complain about. But at the same time, we can let our light shine. And we can be the salt of the earth and bring someone to the Lord. And so think about that. And find your purpose in life. Why are you here? Where are you going? What's it all about? Do you see the big picture? And I think of Joseph when I think of that. He had so many things in his young life, and then everything went south, and he was in prison and endured so much and everything, but he was able to see that God was in his life, and what a difference it made. He saved his nation, through whom Jesus Christ came into the world. Well, we're the recipients of Jesus Christ today. We have a purpose, and that purpose is to draw someone that we know and love to share the gospel. And if I understand that, and I accept that responsibility, then I really have a sense of purpose in my life. And I think each one of us can do that too. If you're present tonight and